Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday, Football Friday, which we're going to go ahead and say includes European football. Because you should have seen the joy on Sneaky Joe's face just now when he discovered that there's a game on.
A classic.
A classic?
A classico? Is it classico?
I don't know. What do they call Leeds United against Newcastle?
It's
got to be some pent-up history.
They call it a fixture.
Battle for the North Country. I have no idea if that's geographically accurate at all.
Is it a?
I know Newcastle derby? Is north. I'm not sure about Leeds, I guess. I know Newcastle's up north.
Is it a derby?
Ooh, I'm not sure it has achieved derby status.
Derby status. I watched you probably did. We didn't talk about it, that Ronaldo game.
You mean his debut last Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the whole game on a plane.
Sweet.
Last Saturday.
Smooth move.
Like, that was nice.
Yeah.
To have.
He's got to change that goal celebration, though.
No, he does not.
He's old. He's going to tear an ACL.
It's the best goal celebration in soccer that I've ever seen.
Until he jumps wrong one time and then his knee gives out.
I mean, how old is the guy? 36?
36 is what I was going to say. 36.
Yeah,
okay.
That's about when you should start being pretty careful.
He's going to be 60 playing for Rochester, and he's going to tear his ACL, and Joe's going to be like, see?
I told you
that would happen.
Yep. You know.
Well, have fun with that game. I'll be watching it over your shoulder there, Joe. Football Friday, Bills Football Friday. Will Fuller, that's kind of a big one. A lot has been made today about how Brian Flores, the Miami coach, was not willing to say whether or not he expects Fuller back this season. And I don't know, I didn't notice this anywhere else, but you and I talked about how yesterday or the day before, Flores said the same thing about a different player. I think it was a defensive tackle who was out for this game. And he said, like, he wouldn't say whether he expects him back this season. I feel like maybe, at the time I thought, like, that might just be how Flores wants it. Like, he's just, I don't have to tell you that. So
right.
I'm just not going to make, what point is there in me predicting?
I don't need to put a timeline on anything. I'll
right.
just leave it open-ended.
And whether or not I expect him back, really, you don't have to know that. So it felt like maybe this was the same thing. And then I watched the whole thing with Flores and Fuller. It was useful to do that. It's always useful to do that, as long as it's not going to take forever, right? Like these comments, Kyle Shanahan lately, with different things he said that just show up in quotes about Ayuk, say. You want to watch him say it. You want to hear him say it. And I thought Flores on Fuller was very reasonable. You know, he was careful with his words. He was asked at one point if he was surprised by this. And he took his time with it. And he got around to saying, paraphrasing, essentially, you're surprised in the sense that this is not like sort of a normal development. But, you know, that's life, right?
But like, things happen.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
I think in this case, I mean, I've not watched this stuff. I've only seen the quotes. But my first thought when I saw that was, well, it's a personal matter. We have no idea what that is. It could be extremely sensitive and delicate. And if that's the case, then I maybe the coach just doesn't want to even seem like he's putting pressure on the guy to get back. You know, like, look, just do what you got to do. We're here, you know. And no, I'm not going to say I expect him back next week or next month or this year, because he's dealing with something, and that's, you know, that's it. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to look like I'm pressuring a guy who's going through something to get back here.
Right. That's good. Which is exactly how you and I think would both want him to be.
Yeah.
You know, just,
yeah.
And he can, how we did it in the media, I don't think it was a problem at all. So it's a break for the Bills, because here's Miami. Like, this has got to be, it's a big game for the Bills because 0-2 is out there, and that's bad. Like, the fact that they lost to the Steelers and that the Dolphins won their first game, perhaps as well, if you want it, just they raise the stakes here in week two. It's a very big game for Miami, and the Bills are the team to beat. And this is your chance to get two games ahead and beat them. And so, and plus you have last year for the, you know, whatever emotional damage was done by that game in week 17. Like, it's a very big game for them. And to have Fuller back, Fuller was a big signing for the Dolphins. They're trying to get this quarterback through. And we've seen it with the Bills. We see it all the time, how teams go after weapons to try to make their job, the quarterback's job, easier. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Here it worked. Here it was a home run when they did that. Maybe Allen is still great without it, but, you know, I have my questions about that. So that's what the Dolphins are up to, maybe copying the Bills, right? And so Fuller is integral to that, and he will not play. Flores, by the way, was asked about how this affects their offense, and it says, well, we didn't have him last week. So really, nothing's really changing in that respect. But you like Waddle. Everybody's hot for Waddle after his week one. I mean, a great college player. And then Devontae Parker, who's had his moments too. You still get those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got, you know, I think Waddle's real, real nice. I mean, there's no question they'll miss Fuller. You know, I mean, that's just an element that, you know, you like to have. But, you know, I think there's talent there. I mean, we talked about Gesicki earlier this week. I mean, he went off against the Bills last year in this game, the game in Miami, and really, you know, still isn't elevated to like some lofty status, but they've, you know, I think he could still hurt you. I really do like Waddle. But you know, missing that deep guy is nice for the Bills. I mean, we'll see what Miami can do without that. I mean, they were pretty conservative, I think, on offense last week, and we'll see if that continues. I don't know if Fuller had been there. I guess we won't know until if and when he gets back, if that changes what they want to do. But it seemed like, you know, quick timing, first read type stuff from Miami, and I'd expect more of that.
Deshaun Watson's status factors into this usually. It has when we've talked about it before, but as the Bills face Tua here for the first time, are your chips in on him or not? Like, do you think he makes it?
Do I think Tua makes it?
Yeah. No. I'm sorry to bring up Watson. I mean, it's just like, even right before the season, there was more about Watson in Miami to make you wonder what their level of investment is.
I really thought there were a couple things in last week's game, the New England game, and I didn't sit with the whole game. I think I mentioned early in the week, I just caught whatever red zone fed us. But that, you know, I saw a lot of plays. I saw the horrific interception he threw up pretty late in a 1-point game. I also saw him on a scramble slide short of a first down, and yes, there was a guy there, but he could have made a little bit more of an – it was the kind of play that I think if it were our guy,
mm-hmm.
we would have been talking about it. It just it wasn't quite – there was a play maybe – I'm trying to think of a Bills example. Yeah, I don't really need it. It just looked like not heady, like maybe not aware of where he was on the field and where the first down marker was, and sort of, you know, you want your quarterback to protect yourself, but there's a balance there, right? I think, like, make a move, cut inside, and, like, maybe dare the guy to take a 15-yard penalty even, right? You're the quarterback. Maybe he'll hit you with his helmet or something. And he just sort of gave up a yard short of a first down. And that coupled with that horrendous interception, I thought, man, this is not my quarterback if I'm Miami. Now, you know, I've been pretty bullish on him mostly coming out of college and even going into this year, but I was not real encouraged by those two things in that game last week. And I might be, you know, maybe he did a lot of other really good things, and maybe he'll do lots more good things on Sunday against the Bills. But I'm kind of down on him right now, I would say. Like, I did not like that slide, and the interception speaks for itself. I mean, they should have lost the game on that, and they didn't.
How about you, Joe, on Tua? Does he make it?
I'm all the way out. I would be betting heavily against him being their starting quarterback next season. I just don't think you can win in the league anymore the way he plays the position, where it's like a rhythm pocket type of offense, and he can't create really off structure, and you can't ask him to make big plays, and it's got to be all about consistency and accuracy, and like that's all well and good, but to me you've got to have that extra gear. Well, and I don't think he provides that with his arm. I don't think he provides that with his mobility with his feet. And I just question whether he's got – like, I watch him play, and he reminds me of Trent Edwards. Everything's to the running back. Everything is short. And every time he throws deep, I'm just like, wow, like, why are you even trying it? Because it's going 15 miles an hour, and every defensive back can just jump in front of it.
Mm-hmm. He, you know, there's different things though, right? Like you can't win in the league this way. This is Mac Jones too. I mean, it kind of some differences in their skill set, but like the sort of the lethal weapon potential that Allen provides and Jackson and Mahomes and these guys, maybe Fields and Lance will be like this. You don't see it. What if they win though, right? Like last year was. It's always the whole time with Tua and the Dolphins, it's been a little bit weird how they kept taking him out last year. You know, what are you doing? They happen to be competitive, which makes it tougher. And they get all the way to week 17. And, you know, had Fitz not been out with COVID, maybe he or was it COVID? Like he missed that game. Maybe he plays in that game, too. But they kept taking him out, which is kind of odd, right? You're putting your rookie in. You want to see it through. But they kept changing that. And then this year with Watson, all of that happening. But it's a big game in a lot of ways for both teams, but for the Dolphins, like here's a chance for them at home to take a big step toward the playoffs and the division if they can beat the Bills. And when you're talking like this about the quarterback, what do you want? You want to have them win games like this. And against a team led by Josh Allen, you might think you need – you know, the total is 47 in this game. They have the Bills up favored by 3, 25-22, that kind of a score. You know, the Dolphins might think, or you might think about them, that they'll need 30. I mean, what do they need last year to beat the Bills? 60. I don't think they didn't get it.
Right.
But, you know, 30, you come off that game, you think about the Bills, you're like, but we better be prepared to score 30 points. And so can Tua do that? Now, they win a lot of their games without scoring 30 points. Though, like last week, they scored 17. And what I'm getting to is if they win with this quarterback and they're not, he's still the same guy you guys are describing, well, he stays in, I think, for a while. I mean, this isn't imminent, this change I'm thinking of, but.
Right.
Like if they win like they did last year and he's a little better, right? Weapons are a little better. then he stays in there. You know, have a, I don't know, like a Doug Flutie situation or something where what are you supposed to do? Well, the Bills did take him out, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do see it.
Game, even. Yeah.
You do see it.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is an interesting one, by the way, like this, isn't he? And he's a year older, at least. This is maybe his fourth year. Does that sound right? It's Allen's fourth year. So it'd be Jones' third, right?
Yeah, is he the 18th? I don't. Yeah, I think that sounds right.
He'd be
yeah.
the year after Allen, so
yeah.
this be his
yeah,
third
I,
year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that like they lost. He you know they had a chance, right? There's an overthrow slash drop late that could have given them a 10-point lead. But everyone it seems is kind of encouraged somewhat. And to me, that reads like you're helping along someone who's not going to make it. That's what it sounds. It sounds like us talking about any of the Bills' flawed quarterbacks from Kelly to Josh. You know, like, well, no, you know, it's good. He did some good. Oh, that guy should have caught that ball. And you should, depending on how much you want to defend the quarterback, you blame the receiver. And, you know, if you hate the quarterback, you're blaming him. And it just, it's what you do. It's what you sound like. It's what your fan base sounds like when your guy isn't good enough. And that's where I think Daniel Jones is now after last night. Like, that was good. There was a lot to like. But it's not, to me, good enough. You know? I just don't think he's going to make it.
It's close. I mean, what's your standard? Teams' standards vary. For the Giants, well, I don't know which the Giants are. The Giants have won Super Bowls, but they've also been bad most of the time for like a decade. So what is their standard? To compete with Mahomes or to compete with the top quarterbacks in the league? If he's not on that level, throw him out? Or, you know, Prescott, more practically speaking, in their division? Something like that? Or does that have to be the standard? Like, let's get to the playoffs. Whatever, it's different depending on what kind of track record you have, what your history of success is in your organization. Like, the guy, if they don't jump offside, which, by the way, maybe they didn't. Did you see that, by the way, on the field goal?
Yeah.
That the guy really probably wasn't offside. He just timed it perfectly. Tough one. But if they win, if they win 29-27, how does that change anything about Jones? Right? Like, he has nothing to do with that. But it's another loss. You're another step closer to a season where, you know, you're probably not good. It's a huge loss, you know, against a team like that in your division, on the road. Like, you have them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that happens. One of the worst ways I can think of to lose a game.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, give them 5 yards to make good on a field goal to beat you. Yeah, I mean, that's
just pretty, kick it again.
That's pretty damn bad. Yes.
It's not. It wasn't. I gotta say, maybe like the one angle just wasn't something I was thinking about last night at all watching it. So maybe the Giant guy wasn't offside, but still, do you really even need to rush? Like, do you need to be so close when you're, you know, playing defensive tackle in that moment? I guess you do.
On what was that first field goal try? 48 yards?
48, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to block the kick.
That's right.
Right?
I don't blame him for doing that.
So, yeah, no. I mean, you're trying to get through there and make a play to, you know, win the game for your team, I guess. You know, as
sure.
it turns out, you know, you ended up making a big mistake. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I stand by what I already said. I think the conversation about Jones and maybe the conversation about Tua – like, it just reminds me of years and years and years of us trying to, like, prop a guy up, like, or convince our, like, I don't want to speak for you. I'm positive I did this with guys, like, trying to see my way to, like, no, he's all right. I think he's going to be all right. And, you know, somewhere deep down, you know, your reservoir of faith in that starts to dissipate. And, you know, the more guys that get piled up that you do that with, eventually you just sort of get you get an itchy trigger finger and just, you know, you see a couple bag, you're like, nope,
yeah,
not going to happen.
Right. That's right.
I don't think I'm doing that with Jones. Maybe I'm doing that with Tua on, you know, these two plays that I'm referencing from last week's win. You know, they did win the game, but I just, I don't know, I'm not, I just, I look at stuff like that pretty critically and go, that's not my guy.
It's just such a tough team, like it was last year, or coming from last year, to really pin down the Dolphins. Like, how good are they supposed to be? How good were they supposed to be last year? During the season, but even before the season, like, how good were they supposed to be? They won 10 games. They got blown out here with a chance. And a lot of their wins were pretty lucky, you know? So how good were they? How good were they supposed to be? He's in his second year. It is the NFL, but I'm not sure I want to be at you'd better make the playoffs this year. I might be there with Jones in his third. But, like, Daniel Jones starts, the Giants are 8-20. It's not even close to good, right? So with Miami, though, like, what should the line to cross be for him in terms of wins? I know how faulty that is, but, I mean, make the playoffs, right? That's what you want? They'd have a chance to do that? I just don't know if it's a really good team. So you want to be fair about that. Like, how do you measure him in terms of team success? If you win, it almost doesn't matter how good he is. He plays. They're a very tough team for me. Because last year I think it was kind of a mirage. And I don't know, like, do they have a roster? Should they be in the playoffs? The Dolphins? This week's big. This week is big for this too. I mean, the last time they took the Bills challenge on, it was just a demolition. Like, they just, you know, they could have been the Jets or anybody that day.
I liked them ahead of New England until Mac Jones got the New England job. And I know this sounds ridiculous because, well, at least a little ridiculous, because New England just lost to Miami last week with Mac Jones and Tua playing, you know, head-to-head. But I put New England ahead of Miami now. I think that's how we did the reverse power rankings on Wednesday, if I remember correctly. I think I had
By far.
I'm down on Miami because New England, to me, I think, is gonna pass them.
Not by far, actually. I'm wrong. New England 6th, Miami 8th.
Okay.
On that list.
And Pittsburgh is in between. Is that
Pittsburgh is in between.
Yeah.
All right, Bills Dolphins on Sunday. What do you think? 803-0550 is the number. The Raiders have just ruled out Josh Jacobs, by the way, for their game at Pittsburgh on Sunday. He had been missing practice, and he has been ruled out. So no Josh Jacobs in week two for Las Vegas, just in. We have Sal today at 4:30. And we have our – do you know this, by the way, Bulldog? We have not spoken today or texted or anything. I don't know. No. What have you been up to?
Just hanging out, watching some junior hockey, bike ride. I did a 25-mile bike ride.
All right,
like I do most days. No nap because the junior hockey was on, and I couldn't sleep through that. I was too riveted.
Yes, so things are going well.
Yeah, they're off to a good start. So Sal at 4:30, and what else?
Roundtable at 5 to 6, which is our show. It's called the Roundtable. And
I knew, yeah.
We'll talk to Paul at 4 for a bit because the prospects thing starts tonight.
Good.
So a little bit of hockey along the way as well. Picks, of course, not sponsored. But that's never stopped
us. Longest continuously running unsponsored. I can never get this right.
It's your thing, too, really.
I know. I don't even want to try again.
It's never been sponsored, so... It's just the way it's usually it's going to sound.
The longest
very
running
familiar.
Continuously active unsponsored radio segment in history. That's it.
Okay.
Continuously active is important because, like, you know, we've done it every Friday during football season for how many years is this now? 18 years?
Ish, yeah. Okay. Longest running implies continuously active.
Well, It could I say continuously active because it we could have started it in 2003 and then taken a couple of years off somewhere. So I think it's important to say that it's been. I guess you're right. I don't really. I like to make it clumsy on purpose so that I can't remember how to say it.
You want to make it hard for yourself. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. And lines are open for you. 803-0550. Talking Bills Dolphins. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. WGR.
That's part of every week, right? Knowing your opponent, knowing what their strengths are, and you mentioned one of their great strengths is taking the football away. So we cannot afford to do what we did last week, put the ball on the ground four times. So we've got to continue to work on it. That speaks to the discipline of our team, discipline in this case of our ball handlers, discipline of our football team. So I think you saw discipline come into play again last night on the game, late last night, that ended in the way it ended. So discipline leads to good things if handled the right way.
Sean McDermott today on WGR with Sal and Joe on the Extra Point Show. Interesting, perhaps, that McDermott mentioned last night's game, discipline at the end.
Was he really offsides, though?
You know, it looked like it to me when they showed the replay, but today they've got somebody's got slow motion of it where it looks like he's not. I don't know. That's a tough call. Look, he was fast, and he's right over the ball.
He was fast, and he was right over the ball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The New York Giants, I mean, listen, just between us, if I did anything I wanted today, it'd be 4 hours on the New York Giants. I would just only want to talk about the New York Giants. It wouldn't even be fantasy. That's how strongly I feel.
They're the best.
The New York Giants hired a special teams coach who is all about like disciplining players. When people tweet that he has the Giants running laps after they lose, like half the people believe it. Like, it seems believable that this guy would do that.
Right.
Like, for the camp he ran and everything. Even though they lose all the time. Like, so they've got a disciplinarian-type special teams coach whose team lost because somebody jumped offside on a field goal to win the game. That's going well.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a disciplinarian special teams coach who last week challenged a scoring play and cost his team a timeout.
And you've got the star, highly paid wide receiver yelling at his quarterback on the sideline. And
the first-round pick wide receiver complaining about how he doesn't get to play.
After he got into it with Joe Judge on the sidelines. Like, walked away like
holy
mad
cow.
After the conversation with the coach. And then, yeah, he posted... Right. I don't be mad, just be lame to me for real. Like, right after
and
the
And their
game
franchise ended. Running back is talking about how he has to learn to trust his knee.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Oh, I love it.
Because
there.
They had to pick him second overall.
Right. I mean, you know, like, I'm not making fun of the guy being injured.
No.
But I just don't. It's just not. This is not going well.
That's why you don't pick a running back second overall.
Right.
They get hurt a lot. It's one reason. All right, let's get connected with our fans who are not calling in to talk about the New York Giants, it appears. 803-0550, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Schenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Here is Dennis with us. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys.
Not a great connection here, Dennis. Sorry about that. Let's go to Al next. Hi, Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, Al. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask you guys, what would the reaction be to a loss? Do we panic? Are we in full-out panic mode if we lose to the Dolphins?
Yes.
Would you guys at least consider the fact maybe last year was a benefit of having no fans in the crowd?
I don't care what might explain last year. If they fall to 0-2, losing two AFC games, one of them to a team I think they're absolutely clearly better than, and I think they're better than Pittsburgh, too, and they already lost to them. I think the season is on the verge of derailing.
They could look like the better team and lose, or they could look like the lesser team and lose. That would matter.
Right.
17 games. If you think you have the best team anyway, you got to stay cool. I think. I'm not sure I'll panic. But I am, you know, Al, going to ask Bulldog and Sneaky Joe if they would take the 5 seed on Monday.
Right.
I am going to do that.
Yeah.
We'll see
yeah.
if they panic by saying yes.
I'm not
it's like
positive.
No
you know, you got to see the game first. I'm not positive I'll panic. But what I'm saying is I think there will be panic. I think the fan base will freak out. And maybe we'll be trying to, like, hey, everybody calm down. Here's what happened. But I think there will be panic, yes.
Hey, everybody, don't forget about the 1993 Cowboys.
Right.
They started 0-2.
The 98 Bills started 0-3.
Yes. And they made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. They did not win the division. They did not get a one seed or a two seed, but they made it.
They did not win a playoff game either.
Right. So, you know,
but
it doesn't mean the year is over, but you're no longer you're done thinking about Joe. Didn't you say this yesterday? You're done thinking about Kansas City. You know, assuming they win their game, they beat Baltimore. I think you're done. You're just done thinking about them. I'm not taking them down this year. I can't beat the Steelers and the Dolphins to start the year. I'm gonna have to scratch and claw to win my division. Is what it will feel like. I'm two games behind Miami already. Whoa.
Bills and Chiefs both, by the way, about the same favorite this week. We're talking like if the Bills lose, you know, they are favored to win on the road. They're 3-point favorite on the road. The simple analysis of that would tell you that they'd be a 9-point favorite at home. And games in Miami often feel or sound like they're home games. So I don't know if that's priced into the line or anything, but don't sit around assuming they're going to lose or anything, everybody. It's interesting to talk about.
I love them. We're doing picks for another almost 3 hours, but I mean, I am all over the Bills -3.
I thought you would be.
I think it's I will be stunned if we go on the air at 4:15 Sunday afternoon and we're talking about another loss. Stunned.
I put you on the Bills -3. I also put you on New England. Am I right?
Nope.
Oh, all right. Here I thought I was going to be right about that, and then I would say something like, I'm better at predicting your picks than I am games.
Making picks. When I did my exhaustive, thorough research on picks for this week, I opened my tablet, my website, thinking I was going to take New England, but I found other games I liked more.
Because you do like the Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks point traditionally. That's why I thought that.
Yes.
Yeah, but what about Belichick with rookie quarterbacks now?
We don't know that one.
0-1.
Yeah.
0-1. But what about with a rookie against a rookie? Do we have anything? I don't know if we have anything. If we do, it's not an HD.
You're right.
Worst record than Wayne Fonts without Tom Brady.
Really?
Yes.
I love that.
Just saying.
I love that. I was bored with and not even interested at all in Belichick versus Brady last year when Brady left. And the whole sports world was like, you know, what are we going to learn? I mean, I just could not get with that conversation because they're clearly both giants. I mean, they're clearly both all-time greats. So I don't know. Does one of them suck now if their team is bad? Like, just what am I supposed to do here? Was this around the horn? Like, come on. But I do kind of like it. I do kind of like it that when Belichick is sort of picked at, it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, he's won for so long. It's kind of fun when you have this. Like, I hope Joe just sort of beats us over the head with the Wayne Fonts.
Yes.
Stat.
Or how about his coaching tree, Joe Judge?
Flores.
Flores
Matt
is probably
Patricia.
The better version. I would say
it's so ugly, that tree. That is not a tree you want to have in your yard. That's a tree you cut down.
I think that tree is so ugly. That there's not a punchline coming. Sorry, that tree is so ugly. How ugly is it? That tree is so ugly that Matthew Stafford did not want to go to New England because he was coached by someone from that tree.
He hates that tree.
That's some sort of
a bug, like the ash borer or something. There's something
right.
going on there.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he landed on his feet.
Yeah, I think he's doing all right.
Stafford?
Right.
You guys in the Stafford. What, everybody? I'm so sick and tired of Bulldog and Joe just talking about Matthew Stafford when I am in earshot.
Did you see?
I've had enough.
There was a thing today about Jared Goff had like over 100 attempts rolling out to his left on that offense and never threw it over 20 yards. And Matt Stafford's first attempt was like a 60-yard touchdown.
Yes, on the third play.
Yeah.
Right.
Poor Goff. Poor Pappy.
Pappy, right? Pappy Goff?
Poor Pappy.
Pappy. Oh, my God.
Yes.
What is that?
Manny is next. Hello, Manny.
Hey, what's going on?
Just this.
Just hanging out, working.
By the way, I got my spritzer ready, just in case the your hot take is going to be extra fire. So I'm ready, man.
Thank you. Good.
So, by the way, I love your show. It's like the best talk radio show I listen to, and I consider myself a snob in the area. But enough about that. What you guys were just talking about.
No, you can keep going for a while if you want. I'll listen to more of
go
that.
Go on about that, actually.
would you mind elaborating on that? No, it's fine.
And even with a lot of Buffalo sports talk, there's a lot of fanaticism over there, and this seems to be the only objective, reasonable or reasonably minded show that WGR actually has. But I don't want to hate too much on your employer. So anyways, your conversation about a lot of the QBs out there, Tua included, Jones, that, you know, they're just cute enough to get you some wins or whatnot, but they're not the guy. Are you all playing reverse psychologist and trying to speak about Allen in that aspect?
No, I was not. No.
No, not at
all. I mean,
all.
He is signed now. I think this year, if this year is bumpy and there's no contract there, and by the way, that might be the situation in Baltimore this year as it starts, then I think maybe it is more like that. Like, what do you want to do? And right. if they're having sort of an, you know, so-so season, and it's a big come down from last year, I think maybe Bulldog and I are talking about that all the time. Like, what do you want to do here? You know, it didn't get done, and now we're sort of maybe feeling like we're back in the middle. But it did, so I think it's closed, right? Like, he is going to be the quarterback of the Bills, which the vast majority of people will be happy about. You know, fans.
Well, I'm not one of those people, I'll tell you that. And I will say this, outside of Buffalo and a few of the clear paid analysts out there by the Pegulas or whatnot, that they're, you know, they're told to talk nice about this guy, most people are not sold on Allen. Most people feel that he had one good year and they need to see more. But
well,
for some reason, that sentiment isn't what I feel from Buffalo.
What analysts are you talking about? Because the objective people that we talk to across the board this offseason and into this season said, sure, maybe some regression. He might not be an MVP candidate every year, but what I heard from people is they believe in the progress he made. So that sounds pretty sold to me. I mean, I don't know. Are you talking about fans or what are we talking about?
But at the same time, when you have the Florios and the Pro Football Talk guys, you got to admit that this is a big business, and Allen is the great white hope of Buffalo.
I don't know, Manny. Like, on this show, we're not talking to some of the people you're thinking about. We're talking to people it's interesting, sort of ironic that you started with such a compliment and that I appreciate, but like, we're looking, the people who are guests on our show are that way. They're people that I trust or we trust to be that way, like, just to be honest. And there are, as we all know, as any Allen fan will, or not any, but many will remind you, there were lots of doubters, right? So you have some, like, we have PFF on every week. We have Doug Farrar, a guy like yesterday, you know, we've got people all the time who are coming in, whether it's national or analytics, whatever exactly. Aaron Schatz is another one. They're on the station all the time. And none of those guys is telling you last year wasn't amazing, right? And there'd be a range in terms of confidence about the future. That's really the issue, you know, with your question and everything. Like, it's how do we feel about the future? And my answer, which may have sounded like a cop out, I don't know. My answer was, it's already decided. You know, like, it's not on the table like it is with Tua. But anyway, sure, you can find somebody who thinks anything. I don't think Josh Allen has to be like a sure thing, all-time great or anything like that, because there are guys. I mean, I should get around to my feelings about this. Like, there are guys who have years like that and then don't. And it so came out of nowhere that I think you'd want to be especially wary. But what he did last year was incredible, and I don't blame the Bills for signing him. You know, if you're right that the guy, it puts you at a level where you can win every year, then that's what you do. And, you know, you might not want to take the chance of having it cost more down the road or anything. It is interesting that Jackson did not get a deal done, isn't it? Or Mayfield, I guess. Those were the three guys. The other two did not sign long-term contracts. The Ravens could have a tough year. The Ravens are probably likelier to have a tough year than the Bills are right now. And I don't know where that would leave that situation, but there's no deal. If you care. Mm-hmm. If you care. All right. Thanks, Manny. Once again, getting connected with our fans brought to you by Bond, Schenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. I got how do I want to put this? Whatever. What is the Vince Young game? We'll explain after a break. What is the Vince Young game? Paul Hamilton at 4 as we talk about tonight's Prospects Challenge game with Paul being a part of the broadcast on WGR after our show. Sal Capaccio at 4:30 and will be almost strictly Bills NFL the rest of the day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Talk has the power to save lives. Join WGR 550 on Thursday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for I'm Listening, a live two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports and insight from some of the most respected mental health professionals as we strive to destigmatize talking about mental health. You'll be able to hear personal stories from the Imagine Dragons, Wolfgang Van Halen, Justin Bieber, and many more. You are not alone. Join us Thursday, September 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. for I'm Listening. You can listen right here on WGR 550 as well as on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org.
Bulldog, no pressure. What is the Vince Young game?
The Rose Bowl against you. Was it against USC? No.
It was. Young game, yes, it was. But
yeah. The Vince Young game is a season finale. I think it's a season finale when he's with the Titans. And he plays really well and they beat the Bills.
Close. Most of that's right. It was the second to last game of the year, 2006. And the Titans won 30-29. Why I bring this up, I will tell you in a moment. Joe did not know the Vince Young game.
No recollection. When you said it to me earlier, I started thinking of him in the preseason with the Bills.
Yes. Yes, implied was that this was in a Bills context.
Yeah.
But, you went to when he played for the Bills. Very short-lived era in Bills history. Actually, officially, it didn't even exist because he was not on the regular season roster, as far as I remember, anyway. This is the Bills lost this game to Tennessee that day in 2006, 30-29. The Thursday night games this year have ended 31-29 and 30-29. Those are the two scores, Tampa Bay over Dallas and then Washington over the Giants. Not exactly the most common score, right, either, 29. Right. So I was hoping when I looked that the Bills would have never lost a game with 29. Just so I could tell you that. As it turns out, they've lost one, and it's this game. There it is. That's the whole story.
All right.
They've won 8, by the way, with 29 points.
I enjoyed that.
And why this came up in the first place is Jeremy is starting a Scorigami Fantasy League.
Man, if I don't get in that, I'll be pissed.
He wants you to decide what the draft is.
Well, he hasn't said anything to me. He must not want. He might have other people in mind.
You guys got to sort this out.
He might have other people in mind for that. It seems like he probably does. I haven't heard a word about it.
You'd be drafting scores that have never happened before.
Nobody, I'll tell you what, I'm not drafting 6-1, even though it's possible.
Someone will, though.
Someone will?
Just,
how long
just,
is this draft?
Just to be
how
funny.
How is that again? I know we covered this, like, I feel like I was in my attic for this, so it was sometime in the last 20 months. How's the one possible again?
So I score a touchdown to go up 6-0. I kick the extra point, or even if it's a try for two, I think. And let's say it's a try for two. I'm not sure it matters. On the play, I fumble, and you recover, and now you can score 2 points by going all the way down, right?
Uh-huh.
So you run. You're trying. That's how you're thinking. You're trying to return this you run backward into your end zone and get tackled. That's 1 point.
Yeah.
You get 1 point. You basically get you get a fraction of what you could get.
Wait.
That's not right.
What?
That's not right.
That makes no sense.
No, that's not right. That's not right.
Really, what
that's
you...
That's not right.
What?
That's not right.
Like a safety?
No, why would the defense get any points for that? That's not right.
No,
that's not right.
I think what you want
in your
here.
Own end zone on a fumble recovery, you're not getting points
That's
for
not
that.
Right.
Let's say that you're going for two and you throw an interception. The Bills throw an interception this week against the Dolphins. The Dolphins return it the other way. They fumble at the Bills' two-yard line. The Bills recover it, and someone, like, goes backwards into their own end zone and it gets tackled.
That sounds right.
So the Bills would somehow have to get a safety going backwards 98 yards.
Because it's on a try, the other team would only get 1 point, not two.
Right.
That's right.
I think you might also be able to get it via, no, never mind. Touchback, I thought maybe would play into it, but I don't think that's right.
Serves me right for trying to do that from memory.
But it can happen.
Yes. NFLScoreGami.com. You see every score that's ever happened or not happened. And there is a link on that homepage to a video that explains 6-1. So next time we'll just play that.
4-4 also available.
Don't try to read the moth joke and don't explain 6-1. Just in both cases, just play the video. No, 4-1 is not possible.
No, 4-4, I said.
4-4
is available.
Sure, yes. Okay. It's not fantasy, but I think Bulldog left. We'll talk to Paul about tonight's hockey game and then get back to football. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.